Hi, we're Grace Life, and we'd love to help you discover Jesus' unconditional love and grace for you.
Welcome to each and every one of you. Glad to be able to spend the time with you this morning and just share what's on my heart regarding what God has put there. So, Father, thank you for your love, your grace, your goodness. Thank you that you're in us, that you're with us, that you never leave us, that you never forsake us. Thank you that you have good plans and good ideas and just good things in store for each and every one of us. Thank you that you are a good God. That's your definition, just like you are love. Thank you that you're just going to reveal that goodness to us again, even in a new way this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Awesome. Yeah, well, as I said, welcome to each and every one of you. It's awesome to be with you. And I'm doing a little two-part series called Calling and Separation. So if you were here last week, you would have heard all about my calling. And today I'm going to share a bit about how do you get into separating yourself from where you are into where you know God has called you to be. Now, just quickly, some background. I actually resigned from my job at ShopRite, I think it was Monday, 2 weeks ago, to enable me to do more ministry, because I really believe that's the calling on my life, and that's what I feel God has called me to do. If you want to hear more about that, it will filter through today, but there's a resource at the back which I encourage you to get, called Calling and Separation Part 1, and it's really not about me, it's about God. It's about what He's placed in my heart, and how He's led me and showed me the way, and I've been privileged enough to be able just to step out into that. So, what is a calling? First of all, I like to think of it, it's not my calling. It's God's calling. Because He's the one that gives you that word. So it comes from Him. It's a gift. It's His calling onto your life. It's where He thinks that you will be the happiest, most impactful, most adventurous person that He made you to be. So your calling is exactly where God made you to be. So He's got this adventure for you to live, and He made you in a way to enable you to live and enjoy that adventure. Now, sometimes we think that our callings are very scary places. It's these dark corners of the world, maybe. But if you step out into your calling, you will be the happiest you can be. I'm going to say it again. If you step out into your calling, you will be the happiest you can be. I think a lot of depression, a lot of what we do with frustration is because we're not in that place. We know we're wired for more. We know we're called for more. We know we're enabled to do more, live more, reach more. Spend more time with God. Maybe take a breath every once in a while and don't just run this race. Remember, you're not a rat. So why do you run the rat race? You're a child of God. I love that song. I'm a child of God. That defines who I am. That defines what I do. That defines how I spend my time. That defines who I spend that time with. That defines what is inside of me. That defines who takes care of me. If you're the son of someone, that someone is looking after you, especially if it's a good father. Yes, maybe you don't have that example in your life of a good father, but God is a good father. So He's a good provider. He's a good place of safety. He's a good place of knowing exactly what is best for you. So you feel maybe like you know what you need to do, you know where you need to go, but it's scary. And let's look at that this morning. So, God called me out of 2 Corinthians 6. I'm going to read just 14 to 18 quickly. I was lying on the couch. Natasha wasn't at home, my wife in front, and just chilling, reading Bible. Was actually the 1953 Afrikaans translation, which I haven't read in a while. So I thought, okay, let's give it a bash. Let's see if the good news is the same in Afrikaans. And it actually is. Can you believe it? Lying on the couch, last week I shared the Afrikaans, today I'll share the English. It says, "Be you not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" The Afrikaans says, "Moenie aan dieselfde juk as die ongelowige trek nie." And I was lying there and was like, okay, whoa, God, this sounds like, even though Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago to the church in Corinth, this stirs something on the inside of me. And just to make sure, I read on. And then it says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and I will, and they will be my people. And at that place, I like paused subconsciously, and I'm like, okay, this wasn't what I thought it was. Actually, this scripture is now taking a turn, and now we're talking about infidels, and I'm not an infidel, so I can just read over this. So I read on, and I read verse 17. It says, wherefore, come out from among them. I'm like, whoa. Now I'm back on this track where I thought this is leading, and now it is actually leading there. Come out from among them, and be you separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay, so I read this, and I realize this is to do with my day job. God says, I have a different work for you to do. That's the thing about a yoke. A yoke is there to do work, to get things done, to plow a field. So God told me, and I mean, I'm telling my story now. This is not applicable to everyone. This is my story. This is my scripture that God gave me. He can give it to you as well, but I'm just telling you my story. And I'm like, God, how are you going to take care of me? How is this going to work? I mean, we indoctrined in this way. You go to school, you get good marks, you get a degree, you get good marks, you get a bursary if you can, you get a job. And that's what I did. And now God says, but I have a different yoke. There's something else I want you to do. And verse 18 was just beautiful. And it says, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. So in my question in my heart, God, how's this going to work? How are you going to take care of me? How are you going to provide? How's this going to work out? God gives me the assurance, I'm your father. You're my sons and daughters. Actually, God said, don't you worry about it. I've got this. I've got this. This is not yours to worry about. I want you to focus on what I want you to focus on. Let me focus on the rest. Let me enable it. Let me make it happen. So yeah, that is just quickly as a recap. Now, when God calls you to do something, it's usually a good idea to go out and do it. Who agrees with me? Okay, if you're pretty sure God made the call in your life, it's a pretty good idea to go out and do it. I mean, in John 2 verse 5, the mother of Jesus spoke unto the servants, and he said, his mother said unto the servants, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Okay, that's how you see a miracle. You do what God told you to do. They said, make the water pots. Think about your bathtub at home or at a wedding venue. There's 6 bathtubs. The wine is finished. And someone tells you, go and fill the bathtubs with water. Like it's got nothing to do with wine. How is this going to work? Yet if they didn't do it, they would never have seen the miracle. So when God tells you to do something, it's usually a good idea to go out and do it. However, it's not always that easy. If it were, I mean, our lives would be a lot different than what they are today. But it took me 2 years to do it. And today I want to give you that practical, almost step-by-step of what I did in those 2 years leading up to the place where I could say, listen, ShopRite, thank you very much, but I'm no longer going to be a full-time employee of you. I've got a different yoke. I've got a different work to do. Matthew, Jesus says, he says, come to me. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I will not lay anything ill or unfitting on you. So if you feel like what you are doing with your day is ill-fitting, it is heavy, it is too tiresome. Yes, we get tired and we can find rest with God. But if you're at a place of burnout, Jesus is calling you. He says, I've got a different yoke for you. Maybe a different way. Maybe that yoke that you're carrying is just not made for your shoulders. God has got a yoke for you, a work to do that fits perfectly, that is effortless. He pulls that yoke with you, and that's awesome. Okay, so why is it not easy to just do what God says we should do? There's a lot of reasons. First of all, we have active minds. And if you studied engineering like I did, you have a very logical mind as well. So you've asked all the what ifs and the whys, and then you get to dead end, dead end, dead end. I think that's what God gave me the word. He said, listen, I'm not going to give you the next step, the indication, the exact how, the formula, the algorithm. I'm just going to tell you, listen, Peter, I'm your father. You just relax. You just enjoy it. I'm your father. Because with engineering, with math, whatever you do, there's always an nth degree that you're not there yet. It's never perfect. It's never optimal. You can always do better. You can continuously improve. But with God, it's like, I'm the best father you're going to have. I'm the best God you're going to have. I am the best plan for your life that you will ever have. Because I have made you just the way I thought I should have. And that you can take for yourself today. Go look in the mirror and say, listen, God made me exactly like he thought he should. No matter what the world say, no matter where your house is, no matter where that mirror is in this world, you can look into it and say, God made me just the way he wanted to. God made me just the way that he liked. God looked at you the day he made you, and he said, behold, this is very good. Before you did anything, before you even gave your life to him, before you even received Christ, he looks at you and he says, this what I made, this is very good. You are very good in the eyes of God before you do anything. Why? Because you have a very good father, a loving father, a very good creative artist that wove you together. And he looks at you and I say, this is good. In fact, this is very good. Okay, so I believe as humans, we have a hesitance when it comes to change and making big decisions. I always say, well, just my amal scarper. To some degree, and I think Jesus knew it. That's why he made the shepherd principle as part of the church. He says, yeah, you think you're so clever, but you actually, you've got a very much a sheep mentality. If you all get up now and walk, you're going to walk without asking why. You'll get outside and then you'll ask, ukum is beta? And then they'll be like, no, I don't know. And then you'll decide. And then maybe someone's going to come back in and then there'll be a few followers. So we are made to lead and to be led. And we're hesitant to change. We're hesitant to breaking the bank, to shaking this box that we call normal. The whole system of the world is also indoctrined in that way. Like there's a clear path. There's a clear way to success. But the problem is we need to start at the definition of success. Is the definition of success that the world sells you the definition of success that you want? Is that the success that you want? Is that a house in Clifton? To retire at 45? To drive a Lamborghini or a Maserati? Is that the success that's going to make you happy? Maybe add a yacht, a ski holiday? Or is true success when you are exactly who God made you to be? Is true success when you do exactly what God made you to do? When you put that yoke on, what he made for you, and it sits comfortable, it comes natural, and it gets a lot of things done. It has eternal impact. It changes lives. It changes your own life the most of all, because you get closer and closer and more intimate with this God who made you in the first place. This loving Father that takes care of you, that loves you, that say, no matter what, you will be my sons and daughters. And I will be a father unto you. In that place, your heart will find what it's always been looking for. So, if God has a calling, it's usually a good calling. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, for the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generation. The Lord is good. So, his calling must be good. It's not bad. Yes, it might be scary. It's not bad. It's good. This pulpit is wood. No matter what you do, if you paint it, ladies, if you chalk paint it, it's still wood. If you do the wax thing afterwards, still wood. This pulpit is wood. God is good. No matter what box you put him in, no matter what denomination you come and listen to him, no matter what song you sing, maybe if it's not your style, God is still good. God is good, so his callings must be good. Now, this good God only wants good for you. Okay, I'm taking you on a journey that I went through for 2 years, like from a place of scary to a place of excitement. Or a place of God, this cannot be. God, how can this be? God, no. With tears in my eyes, basically, and like to a place like, God's got this. Why? because God is good. God is good always. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. The New Living Translation says, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. So if God is good one day and he never changes, it means he's good every day. If God is love one day and it says he never changes, then it means he's love every day. A friend of mine said the other day, one of the biggest revelations that he had recently is that God is not schizophrenic and he's also not bipolar. He is the same. He is good, he is love, and he is in love with you. The same every day. He doesn't get up like Hollywood movies and I've fallen in love with you and now I'm falling out of love with you. He made a decision. He says, I made you out of love. Not to get love, to give love. God is a giver. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. God so loved the world that he gave his son. He sowed one son so that he can bear many sons and daughters. If you take one sunflower seed and you go plant it, you sow one, you give up one, but you reap many. God had the same idea with Jesus. He gave one, but he reaped many. He reaped each and every one of us as his sons and his daughters. Okay, so first of all, you need to realize your calling is a good gift from God. And you have to acknowledge that you will be better off where God called you to be. See God as your good Father. Receive his love. Learn to trust him. And watch him grow your dreams into reality. That's the subtitle of my message this morning. Watch God basically grow your dreams, your calling, your destiny into reality. It's one thing to know that you're called. It's one thing to dream about your destiny. It's a whole different thing to go out and do it. That's where it happens. That's where you get that true, vigorous love, life of God just flowing in you. Just getting things done. Just making things happen. So, that's the calling part. Realize that you have a calling. If you haven't heard it from God, go and listen. John 10:3 says that my sheep hear my voice. So, I told you you're a sheep now already. You agreed. Now Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. So you're not a dumb sheep. I mean, you're a sheep, you're a son of the king. But you hear his voice. He's your shepherd. Listen to him. Now, knowing your calling, if you do or don't, and I think calling is also something that evolves over time. I think God always gives us the next step. He doesn't give us the end picture. Because I think that might scare us. Or we would think, maybe out of a place of pride, but I don't want to do that, God. I mean, I know people who said, if I knew God's going to call him to be a pastor, I'd never marry him. I know someone like that as well, maybe. No, she wouldn't have. But when she married me, she didn't know this. But God has different plans in mind. And God had the foresight to show me that this is the best wife for your life journey. This is your helper. This is the mate that I chose for you. I made your paths cross for a specific reason. And the word that we got before we got married was like, together you will glorify God more than alone. Together you will glorify God more than alone. And I think that's a good place to start a relationship. So, your calling is the easy part. Separating and living it and starting to walk down that path, that's maybe not that easy. That's where we actually start to complicate things. So, how to grow your dreams into reality? I think I've got 5 points for you. First point, receive your dream from God. Don't come up with your own dream. Don't take a world dream. Receive your dream from God. And that's very important, and it's really very critical that this is the first step for you. Remember God said in James 1:17, whatever is good and perfect comes down to us from God our Father. So you want a dream, you want a calling that is good and perfect for you. There's only one place to find it, and that is with God. Only your Father truly knows what is good and perfect for you. And for you, and for you, and for you. I know you to a certain extent, and I can give guidance, but your Father made you. He knows what he made. He knows what he put inside of you. He knows how he wired you. So get your dream, get your calling from God. Then you can be sure that it's a good calling, and it's a perfect calling. I believe that if you will be able to find your dream or calling, in the Word of God, you will be sure that it is from God. God's not going to call you to do something different than what is in the Word. He's not going to call you to recreate the universe. Yes, that's in the Word, but it's not applicable to you. He's not going to call you to go and kill 100,000 people. No, it's not in the Word. It's not part of the new covenant. It's not part of go out and make disciples. So when you think you know your calling, go and find it in the Word. Get that Word to stand on. Don't force it. Receive it. Say, God, listen, I need to know what to do with the rest of my life. Please show me. Please guide me. And don't just take words from people. Take words from the Word. It is the living Word. It is there for us to enjoy and to receive. So the first point, make sure your dream or your calling is from God. Then, second point, confirm your dream and your calling with God. Make sure. This is big. You only have one life. I told ShopRite, if I had two lives, maybe, but I only have one. This is not a dress rehearsal. If I had two lives, maybe I could have stayed and played that game, but I only have one. This is not a dress rehearsal. So I had to confirm this, obviously, beforehand. One way to confirm your calling to yourself and to stay motivated is to delight yourself in the Lord and spend time with Him. Psalms 37 verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Okay. Remember, I received a calling, say 2 years ago. It was actually more than that when I knew. But when I received that word that confirmed what I wanted and felt in my heart, that was 4 years ago. 2 years later, I found the word, so I can stand on a word. 2 years later, I only stepped out of the boat. So yes, I can condemn myself for that, and I actually did. But I'll show you that that also doesn't work. But when I delighted myself in the Lord, what came up? There's more for you. There's a different way for you. There's a different work for you to do. And I wasn't thinking about it. I was delighting in the Lord. And He actually showed me what's in me already. He showed me what He wired me to do. Verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. It's not for us to do. Let God grow your dream into reality. Allow Him. Receive it from Him. The Word says, as you have received Christ, therefore walk you in Him. How did you receive Him? Out of a place of abandonment. Out of a place of, God, I cannot do this on my own anymore. I cannot make myself perfect. Please come. I give over. You make me perfect. Now, who are we to think that we can receive salvation in that way, but then go and do everything else in another way? This is not for us to do, people. This is for us to receive. Your calling, your abilities, your dream, your destiny is from God. He's the one that gave you that. He's the one that will empower you to live it if you allow Him. Yes, you can hold on to and try and make it yourself, but it's like a tree that doesn't get enough water, and then the leaves actually becomes thorns because it needs to protect itself. It needs to bring in. It needs to keep other people away because there's not enough water. But if you receive enough water, there actually comes flowers out of those thorns. And there comes leaves. And it gives life. And it gives beauty. And it gives a fragrance. So don't grab onto what you think you should do so hard that you become a thorn and you actually hurt people. Receive from God continuously. And see those flowers in your life come to blossom. See the life-giving coming power flowing through you. See those leaves sprout and give food to nations. See the tree of life come to pass in your life. And Revelation says that the tree of life is there for the healing of the nations. Not for you. Yes, you're part of it. You're engraved into the vine. But let the vine bear fruit through you. It's not you that need to do everything. Let God do it. Okay, verse 5 says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. It's God's responsibility. As I said, it's His call. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday. Verse 7, very important. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Wow. What wisdom. If you know what God has called you to do and you just go and make crazy decisions, you might hurt a lot of people. You might burn a lot of bridges. You might not be exactly where God wants you to be at that time. Moses knew his calling. He knew he was there to deliver the Israelites from Egypt. But he didn't rest in the Lord, and he didn't wait patiently. So he killed an Egyptian man, and he actually postponed his calling. He postponed the destiny of 3 million Jews by acting too early. So where you call to be is not just a place, it's also a time. Rest in God. Wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that prospers in his way. Okay, so you know where your calling is. You know you're called to be a businessman, but you're still working for someone. You know you're called to be a business owner, but you're still working for someone. Now you see other people prosper in their way, and you feel like, I'm falling behind. I should do this. I become hasty. It says, fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way. Don't worry about other people. Think of Joseph. Joseph was called to do big things. He see other people climbing this ladder of politics, the political ladder, to the throne basically, to become Pharaoh's successor or right-hand man. Yet he's in the prison. Okay, so he interacts with a few people, a baker and a skunker. And a porter is probably not the word, but anyway. He interacts with them and he sees this okay, the one dies and the one goes places. But he's like, God, how's that fair? How does that work? But if we worry about the other people ahead of us, we're never going to live and receive what God has for us. And what did God do? In a day, in a matter of hours, he took him out of prison and made him second in command. And it's not the second in command that the guy before him had. No, Pharaoh actually created that position just for him, with more authority, more power, more influence than what there was the night before. I said this before. Even if you don't make, or you're not invited to the first interview, don't lose hope. Neither was Joseph, neither was David. There was a round of interviews for the king, the next king. David's own dad didn't think he was worthy to be at the first interview for king with Samuel. Yet God had different plans. God said, this is the king. He's not here. He's not in the first round. And then what did Samuel do? He says, okay, all of you that attended this first round of interviews, you're going to stand until that little runt you call a brother, who God sees as the next king of Israel, is going to come. And who's blushing then? So keep focus. Keep trusting God. Keep resting in him. Okay. Shane taught me something. He taught me the cork principle. So you take a cork and you press it down, say in a swimming pool, and it pops up again because it's buoyant. If you think that you know what God has called you to do, remember we're now at step two, confirming your dream with God, forget about it, or try to forget about it. And if it keeps on coming back, if it keeps on popping up, if it keeps on what stirs your heart in Scripture or stories that you hear, that's confirmation that it's from God. Try and forget about it. Try and put it away maybe. And if you really just can't, then you know it's from God. Again, that helps you not to make hasty decisions and rather wait for God, find rest, and do it with him. Now you might ask, but Peter, how do you know? How do you know your calling? How do you know that this is what you should do? Well, what if I didn't? God's still my Father. God is still a good God. God still gave me Romans 8:28 that says, I will make all things work together for good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. But there's a way we can find out. There's a way, and it's Colossians 3:15. It says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. I'm not saying follow your heart. We saw a few weeks ago that the heart is deceitful about many things. But you have Holy Spirit. You have Christ inside of you. So when you need to make a decision, there's a good resource at the back, Making Good Decisions for a Great Future. And this is where I got it. It says, let the peace of God rule. That rule is umpire. It is a yes or no decision. It is either out or not out. These days, we have way too many TV umpires, and we can't make decisions anymore. When this was written, there wasn't a TV umpire.
It says you're either out or you're not out. It's either a try or it's not a try. Make a call. Make a call, but let the call be led forth with peace in your heart. And actually at Life Group this week, someone shared, and she said, walk that road, take 2 days off, and in your mind, walk that road. If you choose road A, walk it out in your mind. See where it goes. Live it in your mind for 2 days. Then almost take a day off, come back to reality, take another 2 days, and walk road B, and see where it goes, and live it in your mind, and write down, and then come back and say, where do I have peace? Where do I have kingdom? Because Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all things will be added unto you. So let the peace of God rule in your heart. When we moved down to Cape Town, I said last week, it wasn't for Grace Life. It would have been a great story, but it wasn't. But God had a plan. We had just had more peace with coming than with staying. Could I explain it? That I have a wet cloth and a dry cloth, that I have a fleece and stairs with the sun moving? No. God gave us Holy Spirit, who is our wisdom, our helper, our comforter. We led forth with peace. I had peace, more peace. Yes, it was scary to come and leave family behind, but we had more peace with coming than with staying. And that worked out pretty well for us. Okay. So that's point two. Confirm your dream with God. Point three, allow God to grow and feed your dream. Develop and focus on what God has put inside of you. That's why when I shared with Shane, listen, I think there's a call on my life to share the good news with the world. He said, that's fine. Go and do Bible school. It was very underwhelming at the time, but it was such a gracious manner to, first of all, rest in God. Prepare yourself. Get ready. Make sure. Start ministry. You don't have to resign to do ministry. I'm doing a lot of ministry currently, and I'm still working till the end of the year. Grow it with God. Give Him the opportunity. Give Him the platform of your life. I think of it as a shining light. Now, if you have a plant, go put it in a cupboard and see how it looks after a week. It needs light. It needs light. It needs water. It needs that life. So whatever your dream is in your heart, your calling, where you want to go, let the light of God shine on that. Let God feed it. Let the washing, that water of the Word nourish it so that it grows. And it becomes this big tree that you can actually not keep back. And it just takes over. But it's out of a place of rest. It's out of a place of receiving from God. And let Him grow your dreams unto a place where it actually bears fruit. And let Him be the overcoming force in your life. So allow God to grow your dream. Another one, point four. This is actually very important. Protect your dream. I didn't go out and tell everyone what was in my heart. I told my wife, and I think I told 2 friends. But it was inside of me. It was between me and God. Big decisions in your life should not be influenced by other people. Big decisions in your life should be between you and God. Because maybe down the road, when you're in a storm, you want to fall back on that. You don't want to fall back on what people said. You want to fall back on what God said. You want to live with Him. You want to take His hand. Okay, so I kept this inside of me for very long. Matthew 7:6 says, give not what that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast you your pearls before swine, lest I trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Okay, so I'm not saying other people in your life are pigs. They're sheep, remember, so they can't be pigs as well. I'm just joking. I'm just saying, the pearls that God give you, protect them. Lock them in your heart. Grow them. Share them between yourself and God. And yes, obviously shared it with my wife and with literally 2 friends. Protect it for yourself and see if this actually grows into where you know it wants to be and God wants it to go. It's nothing personal. It's maybe just because you need to figure it out for yourself first. And if you ask too many people for input, they will guide you and build this road, maybe not exactly where God wants it to go. Out of a good heart, out of a good intention, but let God show you the way. And then when the time is ready, you can speak to others. Proverbs 23:7, for as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So I thought about this for a long time. I actually live this on the inside of me, and it came out. I mean, we're doing ministry. We're loving people. We're doing life groups. We're just loving the good news. But it comes from who we are inside. And this is now just growing to a place where we just need more time to do it. Shine that light of God's glory in your spirit, mind, and heart, and you will become what you focus on. Let God grow this, remember. What I also said, and I touched on it previously, is protect your dream with God. Protect your dream from condemnation. Because every morning when you get up and you know God has called you, or God has more in store for you, and you don't do it, there's an opportunity for you to condemn yourself. And then when things don't go that well around you and you feel maybe it's my fault, maybe I didn't, maybe it's because I'm this and that, what are you doing? Becoming that thorn again. You're pulling close. You're condemning yourself. You're hurting. So you're hurting others. And out of that place of condemnation, we actually stayed further away from where we should have been. You might think the contrary. You might think if you condemn yourself enough, you'll actually get out of the boat. No, fear paralyzes. And condemnation is rooted in fear. When you're fearful, you don't make good decisions. When you're fearful, you don't act wisely. When you're fearful, you're not resting in God. You're not receiving His love. So, protect it from condemnation. Romans 8:1, New Living Translation. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Maybe you have something that you want to do, or you know God has called you to do, or you think He's called you to do, and you haven't done it yet. Maybe you think you're too old now. Maybe you think you've wasted time. Moses wasted a lot of time. Yet at 75, God said, Moses, now is the time. Let's do this. This is what I made you for. This is what I made your life, basically, and I led your life. There's no condemnation for those who belong to Christ. That includes living your calling and own, and if you're not. You're still in Christ. That's the criteria. It's not for those that are in Christ and that live their calling, or those that are in Christ and live their lives, and those that are in Christ and live their destiny. No. It's for those that are in Christ. That's it. Not for those that are in Christ and give R1,000 a month to church. No. It's for those that are in Christ. Not for those that live holy lives and are in Christ. No. It is for those that are in Christ. There's no condemnation if you're in Christ. That must be your root. That must be your foundation on which you build. Okay, now I know this is for someone. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. The New Living Translation says, for God's gifts and His call can never be withdrawn. Moses messed up, but the call on his life remained. Yes, he took a few detours, but as Andrew says, God is at least as good as a GPS. You know where you're going. God knows where you're going. If you take the wrong turn, God can get you back on the road. Might not look exactly the way He planned for you to get there, but if we can come up with a GPS that can say recalculating, reroute back to the destination, I think our God, our good Father, can as well. God never withdraws His gifts and His calls from your life. Never. If you have that in your Bible, never. When? Never. Not if and when and maybe and if you, but what about my story? What about my situation? No, never. God never, never withdraws His gifts and His calling. God has not condemned you, and God has not taken away what He has given you, neither what He has planned for you, no matter what. Okay. Last point, point five. Move your dream into action with God. I mean, it's God's calling. It's His gift. It's His ability in you. So don't go and try to do it on your own. Don't go and try and do it on your own. It is what He wants for you, and He knows what is best for you because He wants to actually be there with you. As we felt the time grow near, God gave me the instruction, which was actually a trigger point to move into action. I was I think it was one of the daily scriptures on my phone. Proverbs 19:2 says, hear counsel and receive instruction. Like I was had this in my heart, this was growing, and I haven't spoken to people because I've protected it. And God gave me this instruction, and I knew as soon as I'm going to speak this, It's going to be like you push a rock down a mountain and it's going to build momentum. And it was literally not even 2 weeks from that point until where I tendered my resignation. Counsel, input, and instruction from fellow mature believers are truly priceless in times when you move into action. I said mature believers because you don't want to just share it with everyone. You want to share it with people who has got your best interest at heart. You want to share it with people who you know hear from God. Because then it's confirmation from what God has called you to do. It's confirmation from what God has told you and spoken in your heart. And when that confirmation comes, it's actually very, very, very awesome. So, Shane sent me a message that Friday, basically, when I got, I think I got the scripture on the Tuesday. And he said, how things? Like, I need to find counsel and instruction. So I need to speak to this guy because I obviously see him as a mentor and I know he hears from God. But I knew it's like pushing that rock over the edge. And when I told him, I'm going through a few things at work and I think my time is drawing to an end. He's like, yeah, interesting that you mention it. I just spoke to someone and the question arose yesterday. And I said to them, no, I'll speak to you the next time we meet because I just feel God's pushing buttons and moving you into more ministry. Like, okay, maybe this is what I feel is not just weird. Maybe it's not crazy. Maybe it's God. See, because I know he's mature in Christ. I trust him as a believer. I know he's got my best interest at heart. And I've walked that road with him. Now, when God calls you, he calls you into one body. He only has one body to call you in. So your calling will be as part of the body. In whatever way God fashions it, it will be as part of the body. I quickly want to share just a few others. We went into a leadership meeting the next Tuesday. So this was Friday, the next Tuesday. And without any of the leaders knowing what we're going through, Shane said, listen, guys, I just feel we should pray for Peter and Natasha. So you prayed for them. And you guys are in the service. And you didn't know this, but I want to bless you with it. So, they gave us a few words. Kunrat gave us Jeremiah 1:5. It says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before you camest out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And he told me that you called for great things and you called to step out. I was like, okay, you don't know what you're saying, but maybe you do. So I'll just take that. Jesme said, Isaiah 30 verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk you in it. And when you turn to the right hand, and when you turn to the left, you will know where to turn. And the words that she gave us is the abundance is already there. Now remember, they don't know what we're going through. Yet they're giving us these words from God. Vanner said, I see you at the edge of a gorge. As you approach the edge, fear overwhelms you. And you've got a balancing beam in your hand. And God says, drop the balancing beam and grab my hand. I was like, wow, I'm balancing work and ministry now for 4 years. I'm coming to an edge where I know God is calling me to be. You don't know it. God knows it, and he gives you this picture to share with me. In a body, people that I trust, mature believers, showing us the way. Philip actually had an awesome one. He says, there's a barrier in front of you, which you see as a stumbling block. And God's telling you, it's not a stumbling block. It's a stepping stone to more glory. And that was my ShopRite situation where I had to go and tell the guys, listen, I've spent 4.5 years of my life here. I've built something and I'm now going to basically, and it felt like dropping you to step out into what God has called me to do. And it's not an easy thing. But it said, you see it as a stumbling block. God's going to use it as a stepping stone to more glory. And actually, when I shared it with them, they said, listen, maybe we must look at employing you on a contract or just helping you in the transition. And I mean, from a stumbling block to a stepping stone. And there the testimony is already happening. I mean, God is just so awesome. Okay. I wanted to look at another example in the Bible, but we're running out of time. So just to conclude, how to grow your dreams into reality. First, receive your dream from God. Second, confirm your dream with God. Make sure. Remember, you only have one life. This is not a dress rehearsal. Number 3, allow God to grow and feed your dream. Number 4, protect your dream with God. Remember, there's no condemnation. Condemnation will kill your dream. Condemnation will kill your calling and will kill your destiny. It won't motivate you to walk into it. It will kill it. And then the last one, move your dream into action with God. And with God, I mean also the body of God. As I said, the words that you, your leaders and my leaders together and co-leaders gave me in that time, again, just confirmed to me that God is alive. It confirmed to me that God is going ahead. It confirmed to me that God is at work. And it confirmed to me that God has a plan, and the plan is the church. The plan is His body, where we can take hands, where we can live, where we can step out together, not on our own, where we can get confirmation from people that we know, trust, and hear from God, where we can get confirmation and help from people that love us with the love of God, not with human love, not with financial love, but with the love of God, because that's the only love that will really be the best for you. That's the only place where you will really be the happiest. I want to conclude with Isaiah 55. And you can take this, make this personal for you this morning. God speaking, He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord." I actually just want to ask you, just close your eyes while I read this and make it practical in your life. God is telling you that maybe the place where you're going is not really exactly 100% where He planned for you to go. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God maybe has a better way for you, a higher way to go where He wants you to go. God has a better way. A highway means you also go there quicker. Verse 10 says, "For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven and returns not there, but with water of the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." In 2 Corinthians 9, God says that He gives seed to the sower and He gives bread to the eater. He is there for your provision. "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the thing whereunto I sent it." God gives you a word. He says in His word that His word shall prosper the thing whereunto He sends it. Meaning that if He sends a word your way, He'll prosper you in that word. Verse 12 says, "For He shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace." Let the peace of God rule in your heart. God has a place where you can be happy. God has a place where you can be joyful. God has a place where you will be at peace. "The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands." Eternity and creation, basically, is waiting for you to step out into your calling, into your dream, and into your destiny. Verse 13, "Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree." If you let go of that, you think, the little that you have, "instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree," which is a healing tree, "and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off." So thank you, Father, for your goodness, Lord, and your just amazing plans that you have for our lives. Thank you that they may be different than the plans that we have, but that we know that they're good plans because they come from a good God. Thank you, God, that you know exactly what we need, where you call us to be. Thank you that you won't call us and then leave us, but that you call us and you walk with us. You actually walk ahead of us to build the road, to make the way clear, so that you can get the glory, Lord. Thank you that when we get out of the boat, it's not to walk on water, but it's to get closer to Jesus. Thank you that we don't walk on water for the sake of that, but because of the word that Jesus said, "Come, come to me. Come closer. Come more intimate. Give me more of you so I can give you more of me." Thank you, Father, for that goodness of you that's never ending. Lord, thank you that we'll never find the bottom of it. Thank you that what we are called and what we are dreaming with you to be and to become and to do is not scary, it's exciting. Thank you that we can do it out of a place of rest, that we can do it with you. Thank you that you just enable us and that you grow this in our hearts. I pray for every person here this morning, Lord, that they'll just hear your voice, that they'll receive their call and their destiny from you, that they'll protect it with you, that they'll confirm it with you, that they'll see it grow, and that when we come to the end of our lives, we will look back and say, this was God. This was God. Because this was real. And this was love. And this was grace. And this was different to the world. But it impacted eternity. Thank you that that's the happiest place we can be at, Lord. Thank you that that's the greatest place of adventure. Thank you that there's no condemnation with you. I just speak a word of no condemnation over you this morning. No matter what this message stirred in your heart, take it back to no condemnation. No condemnation for them that are in Christ. If you're not in Christ this morning, you might feel condemned, but I want to give you the opportunity just to receive Christ. Receive that payment for all the condemnation that you could ever have. Just invite Him right now into your heart and say, God, I receive your Son. And with Him, I receive what He's done. I received what He's given. I received what He's paid for. I am now one with Him. I'm now an eternal being. I have a perfect spirit. And I'm one with you. I want to just encourage you to go and spend that time with God and enjoy that time with Him. And share your heart's desires with Him and delight in Him and hear what He's got to say and show you what's going on in your own heart. Remember, God knows you better than you know yourself. He made you. Those days in your life when you may be young and maybe even a baby which you can't remember, He can. He remembers every day. He even remembers how many hairs you had for every day of your life. He knows you inside out. And He loves you inside out. Thank you, Father. Amen.
We'd love to hear from you. If you'd like to talk to someone, or if you'd like us to pray with you, please contact us on 021-8800-168 or at info@gracelifeministries.co.za. If you'd like to order more resources or find out more about us, you can visit our website at gracelifeministries.co.za. We'd also love to connect with you on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube.